future wise of DEFCON in terms of AI, we will use it to generate emails and I guess, you know, snippets for text messages, but we will never just use it as is. We will always put human touch into it.
Welcome to the AI Advantage, where modern leaders decode the future of tech. I'm Solomon Williams, founder of Solenox. So here, it's no noise, no hype every week. Sometimes it's just me, and sometimes it's the brightest minds in tech, breaking down what it really takes to grow smarter with AI and automation. Let's dive in. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Solomon Williams. We have a special guest today. We have Aya Dorado. She's the vice president at DEFCON 1 Marketing. And in this episode, we're really going to dig into automation and human psychology really come together in growing scale and scaling growth. And Aya is really going to help redefine what marketing looks like and give our audience more on the insight onto that. So Aya, thank you so much for coming on to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you for having me. And hello, I'm Aya Dorado. And I started as an automation specialist, just a little bit about myself. And as I, you know, went through the whole process of operations automation, I learned a lot about marketing as well and strategy behind all of this and the, you know, psychosocial behavior of everyone, which is in line with my degree, which is psychology. And also, you know, everything just came like a storm during the pandemic, to be honest. Like all this AI platforms came in and it really helped me understand more when I took a course about AI, generative AI, how to build it, not just how to use it. So, well, I was hired for DEFCON 1 Marketing. And from there, I learned even more about how I can actually maximize AI automation and to actually, you know, expand in terms of marketing. That's more about me and that's me.
So what is a DEFCON 1? I know they're more on a marketing side. What is the purpose of it? Can you tell it?
Okay, so DEFCON 1 Marketing was developed, and it's a CRM platform. So it's a CRM that was developed for Genesis Lifestyle Medicine. So Genesis Lifestyle Medicine is actually a aesthetic clinic around the US, and they have clinics everywhere. And they actually had a problem with, you know, tracking conversions and, you know, how many booked appointments and things like that. And that's where our CAO for DEFCON 1 Marketing, Tom Bagley, met the owner of Genesis Lifestyle Medicine, Dr. Alex and Brent Messer. So they actually joined force and they developed this workflow automation to communicate with leads faster, because we all know the 5-minute rule, right? Like 5 minutes, your lead comes in, you don't contact them, they're probably going to forget you. So that was the concern before. And that's how Tom developed everything for DEFCON 1 Marketing, specifically for Genesis Lifestyle Medicine. And then 2 years after, the three of them realized that, you know what, let's expand. Let's share it with every single aesthetic clinic in the US. And because we expanded, because they started with just a few clinics, and then when they had their leads, you know, followed up with through automation, they were able to expand, have more clinics in areas that weren't really, you know, like booming before, but now it is. I'm not saying that it was DEFCON that did that. There were also ads running. There were also, you know, coupons that were there, discounts that were offered. Things like that. It was like a joint thing for marketing. It was like, it was synchronized. That's why it worked. So that's where we learned that, you know, it doesn't matter if the lead is cold or hot or warm. We can turn them to actual warm leads or, you know, convert them if we communicate with them faster. It was that pushed everything. Like, talk to them, communicate with them, call them. Don't stop calling them until they convert. So it wasn't just automation. It wasn't just workflows that were working. It was also people behind it. So we've got people who would call. You've got receptionists that would follow up with them. It's a matter of understanding the target market. It was more personal. Because it's an aesthetic clinic, you know, weight loss, you got to make sure that you're very authentic and you're communicating with them with what they requested for. So it's not just like, I want weight loss. What do you need? Like specifics, like you have to communicate with them, you know, build rapport with them. And that's how it is. So when we shared that workflow with other businesses and helped them, well, not just grow, but understand why ads are important, why lead management is important, and why lead nurturing is important. That's when we gained more, you know, more clinics that would come to us and we'd help them. And it wasn't just, you know, a CRM build. We'd always look at their operations, their processes, and, you know, we help there too. So it's not just as simple as, hey, you come to DEF CON and you actually subscribe to us. We build out a sub account for you. You go on with your life. It's more of, can we check out how you're working with your leads right now? We just want to see. And then we tell them, okay, this is how we can improve it. This is where the things that we can do. We do reactivation campaigns. Like, for example, they have like hundreds of leads that were in touch for, let's say, 3 years. We're like, okay, let's reactivate that through automation. So we do a drip campaign and then we'd have that for 7 days. And then that's where the AI part comes in. So we generate these emails through AI based on their, you know, business. So right. What type of weight loss they have, what type of, you know, semaglutide, all that. So it really is helping and making sure that we're not just making things up. We're adding value to our clients. And that's the most important part for us is you're not just a client when you enter DEF CON 1 marketing. You're going to be like part of this ecosystem that we built where we update your emails every time there's a new update. Like, okay, so for example, you know, those, you know, generated emails do get blocked, right? So what we do is like, we still tweak it like real people. So that's the part where AI is helpful. It gives you like a template, but you also have to put a little bit of, you know, human touch to it. So that's what DEF CON does for now.
And I think like, as you said, and I heard this before, and I feel like with so much technology and so much automation that comes into play, you know, there sometimes is I wouldn't say a disconnect, but maybe a blocker in terms of why others, that there still needs to be that human interaction on that side. And then there's gap between that. So with that said, with you working with, you know, your partners and with your clients, how do you implement that to make sure that there's still that connection where you're still building that rapport in terms of, instead of just saying, okay, here's, as you mentioned, some of the processes of utilizing a drip campaign, here are the pieces. How do you cultivate that relationship with your clients?
Well, okay, so when they come to us, they would normally say like, okay, we need this, this, and that, right? And then we would be like, okay, we'll just generate emails for you and do this and do that. But we always tell them that AI is not really the answer, because some would come to us and they would say, hey, I heard about voice AI. I heard about, you know, conversation AI, all of these AIs that, you know, we could put into the CRM and then we can use it for every single lead that comes in. It generates messages and then that's it, right? The problem there is, well, it's not really a problem, but I think the disconnect is that everybody thinks that it's the answer to the problem. But the thing is, with AI, you got to treat it as a child. It's like, you know, you've got to have that parenting skill and treat that AI like a child. You got to teach it. You got to make sure it's got the right parameters. And sometimes even if you've got the right parameters, it's going to go sideways from the root word generative, you know, you know what I mean? Because it's a generative AI, it's going to start generating things that you don't need. That's why it's not that I don't believe that it's the answer. It can help, but it's not the only thing that you use. You've got to have that human touch. And this is how I explain it to the clients. Like, even if it's perfect, it just books a call for you, it's still going to suggest, you know, you've got weight loss, and it's going to suggest, do you need any other services from a dental clinic? You know, it's going to happen no matter what happens, you know, even if you keep teaching it, you know, even our kids, you know, if you teach your kids something, they don't really follow all the time. They don't. They go sideways, or they go to the right or the left. Even if you tell them to go straight, want to try the right though. They normally do that. And if you think of it that way, it's going to help you understand more that AI is a child, you know? Any generative AI is a child. You got to teach it. You got to build, technically you build rapport with it too, because you got to make sure that it listens to you. So things like that. So I think that's the disconnect. Everybody thinks it's the answer, but it's not really just the answer. It could help you find the answer, but it's not going to be your solution.
Right.
So that's my take on that.
Yeah. So with that, with you coming on as the VP now on an executive level, did you feel like there was a shift in mindset that you had to take now that you're on a leadership? Or did you already have that? Like, how did you work into filling this role and thinking more on a visionary terms to help get to the next level? Does that make sense? My question?
Yeah. At first, of course, I was an employee, right? So I didn't really understand like what the bigger picture is. So I was just working on things that were given to me. And then one day I just snapped into it. Like I started suggesting things to my boss, which was Tom. And I told him like, hey, why don't try this, this, and this? And then I think that's where he saw my potential to be part of the leadership, because I was suggesting things that they didn't think of during that time, or they talked about it, but I was giving like a push on it on that certain time. So I think that's how I transitioned. It's like somehow like I realized things and just, you know, I turned off my shy mode and just told him like, okay, so this is what's happening. These are the improvements I think which should happen. And then so on and so forth. And then we built that and he became my mentor. So he actually taught me a lot in terms of leadership, but it did give like a huge impact in my life in terms of, you know, becoming a leader, because I feel like I'm too young to be a leader, because I'm, you know, I feel like I'm still a kid, you know, and leadership is like, it's not just you you're thinking about, like in sales and marketing, it's not just the conversions anymore. It's like the team, you got to think about the team. So yeah. Whatever you do, whatever step you take, you got to take into account that you might be doing this wrong because your team's going to get hurt. So that's what happened to me. So yeah.
So, and then on that, you know, with that place after you've had that transition on that, I'm curious on it with your background on the market side and with the behavior-based, you know, personalization, like what's your vision for how marketing and how behavior-based personalization is now forming into the tech side now with AI is being utilized, as you said, with ad generation, with, you know, being able to utilize on, as we know now with social media on this influencing. So how do you, as your vision as a VP, blend those two? Where do you see it heading in the future?
So in the future, well, I still see it as a helpful tool to generate everything that you will need for marketing. It can help. For me, I would use it for ads and all of the other social media stuff, but I would never, ever use it to converse with my clients or leads. So I guess that's my restriction. And in the future, I mean, it's going to be the main thing that we're using. I mean, right now we're all using ChatGPT and we're all using Gemini. Every time you Google, Gemini's there. It's going to give you suggestions, even if you didn't want to use it. So things like that. Siri's going to be, you know, it's AI driven now. So future wise of DEF CON in terms of AI, we will use it to generate emails and I guess, you know, snippets for text messages, but we will never just use it as is. We will always put human touch into it because that's how we see authenticity. And, you know, it's easier to reach out if you actually know what you said, right? So in marketing, if you just generate things, like let's say you have a spreadsheet of generated content and you post that and somebody asks you about it, you'd be like, which one was that? Even if you have a tracker, you're still going to think like, which one was that? What's this person talking about? And you're going to have to look for it. You're going to waste more time, basically. That's how I see AI in the future of DEF CON.
With that said, you know, on that side for the AI, you know, what are you thinking that companies may be doing that are making mistakes on that you see that they can improve on in terms of that marketing, that lead generation, as you said?
Actually, it's not going to be marketing. It's going to be after sales. So that's what I see that's, well, personally, I see it everywhere. Support bots, you know, conversation. I mean, you can't even talk to Meta anymore. You can't find support for Meta anymore. And then you've also got Google bots. You've got everything that I think that's the problem with companies right now. May it be small or big. The use of chatbots in their websites that aren't directing the people to where they should be. And it's also, you know, I understand the whole, I've got to know first what this person needs before, you know, I talk to a live agent. But the problem with that is instead of ensuring that that person is not going to be mad when you talk to them, that's where it happens, right? Like, I just need to talk to live agent, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, you get so mad. And when you're talking to the live agent, you're just mad, nothing else. And then they're like, but these people, they're not thinking about their people. I think that's what it is. They're not thinking about these people who are going to, you know, talk to these people who are mad already, these clients that are mad already because they were talking to a bot who didn't understand anything that they needed. And when they get to the live agent will now have to, you know, talk to them, build rapport again, and, you know, try to calm them down. And sometimes it doesn't happen. And they live off of, if I think you're aware of, you know, CSATs and, you know, good feedback, right? And if they're not able to solve the problem, you know, the customer or the client is mad or, you know, just ballistic, angry, whatever, they're going to have, you know, bad feedback, even if it's right. Not their fault. So it's always, my thinking is always think about your team, think about the people behind it, the next person who will catch it. Always think about, that's what I think should, you know, improve in all of these businesses with chatbots on their website. It's really, really something that they have to think about.
So with that, for the audiences that don't know, we'll have to educate us on like, what is that feedback loop and that CSAT on that side?
Okay, the CSAT is like good commendation coming from, you know, the clients or the people who are looking for support. And in like call centers, for example, and chat centers, they actually live off that. Because their scores are based on that. I think some people who are talking to support don't understand that if you leave a bad feedback, you can get that person fired. Like, you know, that's one thing that I think should, you know, because it's after sales. I mean, companies should take a really, really big leap on thinking about their team. I know it's like, I'm not really a call center person and I don't know how they work, but as a consultant also, I do know that that's their metrics. Those are their KPIs, and it could get them fired just by saying, this person didn't solve anything for me. With that one line, this person, you know, that one line or that one star review could just get them fired. So I would say this to like big companies and small companies that are using that. Think about the team. I would just put them live. At least they can, you know, live right away and not wait for the bot to do so many things that aren't related to what they actually need.
Right. And so with that, you know, with having this, because that's most important, is the culture and thinking of like, how do I improve on the team side? Now with you being on a leadership position, I know you said that before, you know, you don't see yourself as a leader, but now you're kind of still as that point, what are some things that you do or that you would think that recommend to help foster that, that like that would help? So other executives were listening and so forth else, what could you recommend to help with that, to build that rapport with the team?
Listen, I know it's always the thing that everybody says, you got to listen, but listening doesn't mean that you just heard it. There's also comprehension, understanding them. Understand what your team is saying. Surveys don't really help much. If you're a small business, just talk to the person, have time for them. Because to be honest, I've worked with the same team since the very beginning of DEF CON. Nobody left. So that team rapport is like, everybody's like, okay, it's a red flag if it's a family. I mean, we're like working like a family. We have each other's backs because we know we're all going. We have one goal in mind. You know, we also have little goals, you know, little sub goals for our personal lives. So us knowing what the goals are of our team is actually super important. Just listen, understand. I mean, it's super crucial. Like, you can be in the executive level, you can be the CEO, but if you don't hear your people, you're going to lose them. Yeah. You're not going to find better people, because if you think that every single person is replaceable, then there's a problem with your leadership. Because if you hire a person, you trust that person that they're going to do their job, right? So you don't have, there's also that, you don't have to micromanage them. You hired them for that singular expertise that you asked for. So if you micromanage them, they're going to be like, oh, I have to track this, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to time in, time out. I mean, yeah, that's fine if you're in a physical office, but if you're working from home and you have a team at home, or, well, actually even the office, I mean, you really hired them to do what they're supposed to do. It's the same with, they trust you that you're going to pay them on time. This came from my boss. Actually, this is my boss's line. Okay, so Tom said, I trust you guys to do your job, and you trust me that I will pay you on time. Simple as that. It's as simple as that. I hired you, now do your job. And then it's super simple, and it's super like easy to absorb. Like, he trusts you, therefore you can trust him that he'll pay you. If he doesn't pay you, I mean, then you can lose that trust, right? But it never happened. So it's, everything is built on trust, listening, and, you know, just understanding what your team is saying. Like, understand. It's just, it's really super simple. It's the same with every single relationship you have, every type, your relationship with your kid, your cat, your dog. It's based on understanding what they need. So, you know, if I'm talking about cats, you can see the cats running around. If I talk about cats, they trust that you will feed them, right?
Right.
And if you don't, they're going to go crazy and break every single household item that they can see. Right.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? Like, it's super simple, but super helpful for you to like absorb. And that's a dynamic for team. That's how we roll. And, you know, having each other's backs is super, super important. As a leader as well, like, go mama bear when somebody hurts a team member. So that's me. Right.
And I think that, you know, you hear that a lot in other companies and saying of like, you know, it's good to hear, of course, that you want to have your, you know, you listen to the team and so forth. But, you know, sometimes you get those worries of those, what do you call it? The surveys. And so sometimes the people have to be sometimes away because you don't want to make any improvements because of that. Because even though you say it, there might be a little bit of, you know, HR, someone might kind of pull you along after you've made a slight thing. And then you have a call with HR, possibly your boss, just checking in, doing a pulse check and so forth. Yeah. So, yeah, I love that on that side, that it's really that focus of, you make it as clear as day. You know, I bring you on to do the job. I sign the paychecks on time, make sure it goes through a direct deposit straight into your account. It's as simple as that, you know, so I love that. On the other side. So, you know, I like with that said, with your team in place of it working so well, what is working well with DEFCON right now in terms of your delivering your growth?
Okay, so what's working so well is actually our onboarding process. Well, you know, we do demos and that's normal. Some would I guess the demo side is working well as well, because we also check if you're a good client. We don't just sell it to you. We try to have a feel of what type of person you are before we start selling our stuff. So we listen. So yeah, I'll expand on that. So when we get into that demo, we try to gauge, like, how do you treat your team? You know, how do you operate? What's your process? How do you, you know, how many clinics do you have? Things like that. Normal questions. But the most important question is, how's your team? How's your process? We got to know. Because if you're messy, we already know that we're going to have a hard time with you.
Mm-hmm.
So if your process is not fixed, we're here to help you. But if you don't have like a basic idea of what you want to happen, then we know that we're going to have a difficult client because obviously you didn't listen to your team. That's one. Because I'm 100% sure that one of your team members actually told you to do this and do that, but you said no. So you wouldn't listen to us, so we can't help you. So it's a matter of really just knowing how to read people as well.
Yeah.
You can't just do a demo for us. Like, for example, you come to our team and you would do, demos for us and calls for us. But it's not going to be as simple as that because you have to have that skill to actually understand people. Because my boss also has a minor in psychology. That's my major. So that's where we use that part of our lives. The psychology part is reading these clients, understanding these clients, because we've encountered so many clients like, a sale is a sale. But once they come in, they torture my team. So that's one thing that I don't want to happen because I always think about the team. And not that I'm trying to be cheesy or whatever, but it really does happen. Like, it's in my head. I can't get it out. Even if I want to, I dream about it. Before I sleep, I think about it. When I wake up, that's the first thing I think about. And I guess that's what really makes me a leader right now. So, yeah, it's always the team. It's always the team. And it's sometimes painful because even if I don't want to think about the team, so especially if somebody has, someone sick, someone has a problem in their family, I take my time. I step aside and talk to that person. I actually book a call with them and have that conversation, casual conversation, just to make sure that they're fine. So we have a very small team and we don't want that to really expand. That's one thing about DEF CON. We don't just hire for fun. We hire for need. We make sure that the whole team can still handle everything. And then if we can't, that is the only time we hire a new person. And before that person gets in, we actually talk to them first, get a feel of them. It's not an interview. It's actually getting to know you. So we don't do interviews. We get to know you. What type of person are you? Are you a family person? Are you a dog, a cat, whatever person? So that's the type of conversation we have because obviously your resume already says what you can do. So I don't really need to ask you what's on your resume. You got to show me. And then also you got to tell me about yourself. So that's how we just recently hired one person and that's how we met him. We met him from LinkedIn and then he came into the team and then we had a small conversation. And then he was like, this team is not like a team. It's like a family. It came from him. So we don't have to pretend. That's one thing. It's open. We don't do HR stuff. You can't say that. You can't badmouth the client or things like that. No. You can say whatever because everything's like a safe space because that's super important. Be free. Like, say that your car broke down. Say that you're in the store buying food. Say it. I mean, funny enough, tell us what you don't have to tell us you're in the restroom, but my team does. It's funny because there's a code for it and it's not one and two. And we have that. I won't say it, but it's an internal thing. So
gotcha,
we do have that. And it's funny because I'm the only girl in the team. I'm the only woman and they're free to say whatever. That's why I'm talking about the dynamics of the team because I've been in corporate for a very long time. And this is the only corporate setting that I love. I don't say love much, but I love it.
That's great. And then on that side, since you being like, and this is great that you have you're the team on the side, you're a leader as a woman being on that. Did you feel like, did you at any time feel like you had to measure up or did the culture and everything at DEF CON already make you feel you're already so connected? You're the mama bear, as you said, already have that point of where you didn't feel any type of, I wouldn't say intimidation. I wouldn't say that, but more on the pressure of being like the only woman there, or did it feel like flow on that side? Cause you've worked with being as a consultant and so forth with others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never felt any different from them, actually, until today. Like the first time, maybe because Tom is like always empowering everyone. Yeah. He sees you as a person. So he's a great leader. So he's also the best mentor I've ever had. And, you know, he would empower you as a person, not as a woman.
Mm.
I think that's the thing. He doesn't see gender. He doesn't see race.
Right.
So he just sees you as the person he hired who can do the job. So that's how he is. Maybe that's why our culture is also like that. We don't care about if you're a woman or a man. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So I never felt different.
Then I think it speaks on to, as you said, with the hiring process, right? Of like where you already know about their jobs. And now you just want to get to know what are their likes? Like what ticks on this person is really building that human connection, right? And so with that, with you know expanding, what do you see like fast forward in the next 6 to 12 months? What does success look like for DEFCON 1?
Oh, success would be having, you know, more clinics coming to us and us being able to help them, you know, speed up their process, have their leads nurtured correctly. And yeah, that's how I see DEFCON in the next few months. I mean, we're getting there and we're going to get more eventually. Mm-hmm. And it's really a matter of helping. It's always that. It's not just money. It's not just about money. It's always helping and sharing what you know. So yeah, those are the things that are in my heart, to be honest.
And on that side, on with it continuously expanding, with you getting the new clinics and so forth else, have you seen like on any friction or the complexity, the bottlenecks that you have, whether it's interning with the clients that you're working towards to remove to get to that success, that scaling that you're looking to have within DEFCON?
The things, well, I guess it's always the question of, do we do cold calling, which we don't. So it's always that. They're always thinking because it's a marketing company that we do cold calls. And that's the friction part, I guess, is because it's not super clear that it's not, there are segments for marketing. It's not just one thing. We just wanted to focus on one thing, which is lead nurture through automation. So that's what we wanted to focus. And that's why we're expanding fast, because we are focused. We don't have so many other, you know, offers, because we came from that already. Like we had web development, we had, you know, other stuff like API development and things like that. We had that before. And then when we shifted our focus, which was a directive from the three owners, to let's focus on one thing. And then that's just the CRM build with workflow automations and, you know, focus on that. And that's how we started expanding, because we had one focus, one goal, and it was easier for us to demo because there's just one thing that you're demoing. You know? So it was easier for us to also convert them to clients from just, you know, leads. So yeah.
And I love that on that side, that you really take the time to not only after, as you said, you've already got the sale, now it's to cultivate that partnership or that relationship with that and to build on it. Because I think as coming on as a small business owner, you know, you get so caught up in getting the sale and then you kind of move on. But, you know, it's still that partnership, that growth, that, you know, that again, it goes back to that human connection. What are you doing to take the time into listening with that side? So I think that's perfect. And I love that you have that, because I think that's, even for me, like even on coming on, you know, when I was doing the business, it's getting sale and then, you know, trying to make sure that your pipeline isn't dry. So it's like, okay, you still focus on it, but it's still, again, making that time. And that's what I had to learn on building those relationships and consistently, you know, not just coming in, just doing a check, you know, letting you know on, you know, this is where I've gotten, you know, we've increased this much on percentage of verified leads. It's really to talk to like, how is it going? Like, what are some things that is working well? How's your week? It's really just taking away from the business side and really on a personal side, you know?
Yes, 100%.
So with that, would you say like, if you had, you know, a want, or if you could make sure, if you could implement anything, would you say that you would still focus more on continuously nurturing on that side? What would you do on the, you could remove a business problem or anything else? Like, what would you do either to add on or to remove for DEF CON and in your day-to-day as the VP? Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense. Add a wand. I would, that's a very hard question, by the way. It's like the hardest question you've had for me. Well, you know, if I had a wand, I wouldn't say like, turn all my whole team into billionaires, but you know, in terms of DEF CON, well, I guess the problem would be, okay, if I had a wand, the only thing I would remove, actually add, would be, well, go high level to fix their stuff, I think, because we build all their CRM in go high level, and I think it's really their updates. Sometimes when they push updates, everything just crashes. So I really hope, you know, go high level would fix that part of, you know, please announce it before you push it. So I guess that's one thing. And, you know, if I had a wand, that's one thing I would fix, because that's really the hindrance that we have. You know, we built so many things, great things, and then suddenly it just stops. And we're like, what happened? And then we go to go high level support and say, oh, we pushed an update. And I'm like, oh, great. Thank you for letting us know.
Right. Last like, minute.
Right after it happened. I mean, I love go high level. I love their stuff. I love every single feature that they have. But just when they're pushing updates, I swear, I just want to know before it happens so that I can tell my clients like, hey, they're going to push an update, so everything's going to crash. Don't use it for, like, let's say 24 hours or, like, 5 hours or something. Just give me that.
Just better communication on the side.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're in with people wanting to learn more on our audience, wanting to know more on DEF CON 1, if they wanted to utilize those CRM products, where can they go to learn more about it or to follow you on your journey, Lisa?
Well, they can go to www.defcon1marketing.com. Everything's there. All the information is there. We even have, you know, forms there that they can fill it out. They can even book a call from there if they want a demo. And to learn more, like on a daily basis about us, we don't really post much on social media. That's one thing about us. We're not social media people personally. So if you can see my LinkedIn, it's been months since I posted something. So is my boss. So are my team members. Everybody just don't like social media. We're all like not really social media active. But yeah, to learn more, we always, you know, push everyone to the website because it's easier for us to communicate with you if we have your first name and last name and, you know, and your email and your phone number. We can definitely call you. We can definitely email you, text you, whatsoever. So it's going to be easier for us also. And for you, if you're going to be, you know, communicating with us for that specific reason.
Absolutely. And then for the demo, what can people expect if they wanted to kind of get a demo? What can they expect in that demo to kind of get them more interested?
We will actually show you the whole system that we built in Go High Level and how to actually use it. So it's not just a demo, but more of a, you can actually gauge if you actually want to use it or not, just by going through that whole demo process. At least you will know like, oh, this is not for me or this is for me. And you want to make sure that you have that chance, because sometimes you feel like, you know, oh, I need a CRM, and then you just purchase from Go High Level directly. There's nothing there. It's just a blank, you know, sub account or account that you will have. You won't have any workflows built, but if you choose DEF CON, it's going to be the same price with so many things built in it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and it's been tested and it's been useful and it's been working. So that's, I guess, what they can expect in the demo.
Perfect. Perfect. I love it. Well, Aya, thank you so much for coming onto the show. We love having you and just bringing your input inside and just to what, you know, on the side and what DEF CON could bring and the expectations for it. So thanks for the audience for tuning into the show. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Advantage. If this episode sparked an idea, share it with your network. Subscribe for more No Fluff conversations on how smart tech drives real outcomes. And if you're ready to future-proof your business, let's connect at solonox.net.